This is the second season of No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry created as a part of Fearless Writers, celebrating the 10th year of youth-led activism and knowledge creation.
Hi there, my name is Tina DeBoard. I'm a library media specialist at Rogers High School, where I also advise Rhythm and Rhyme, a student-led poetry club, and participate in two Fearless Writers groups. Welcome to episode 6, Authenticity and Acceptance. In this episode, we examine the seeds of silence that lead to conflict. Violence isn't just a physical act, it's often the end result of misunderstanding. When we are dismissed or buried under labels we didn't choose, that invisibility can turn into a desperate need to be seen and heard by any means necessary. The writers you will hear in this episode are modeling a different path. Through their writing, they demonstrate the preventative power of self-expression and show us a way to dissolve the very frustrations that often lead to violence. We will also hear from Dr. Heather Cleary, a social work professor from the University of Toledo who runs writing and activism groups at Rogers High School. Dr. Cleary's input will focus on implicit bias, or the unchecked attitudes and stereotypes that affect the way we perceive and treat others. Thank you for listening.
Hello, my name is Bonnie Walker, and I am a senior at Rogers High School, and my piece is called Just a Cover-Up. After a long day, I go home. I wipe my makeup off, I take my hair down, and I slap a bonnet on. I take a long hot shower, scrubbing away really hard at what makes me unique. I just can't seem to see the version that people know me to be. I go home hoping that one day I'll wake up in the ground, unexpectedly sprouting a new leaf. Maybe I'll wake up and I'll become a renewed, better version of me, getting a restart on my messed up life that's also not so messed up in some ways when I think about it. I'd make changes to the things that have caused me pain, trauma, and hurt in a way. I'd make changes to the way I look because I really dislike myself on some days. I'd make changes to the way I was brought up, which is why I don't think I'm enough in a way. My hair, my makeup, everything that I do to make myself prettier, I've realized it's just a cover-up. A cover-up of my true beauty that I find really hard to recognize. I pick at my hair, my clothes, my face, my eyes. I talk about myself in ways that would hurt me if someone else would. It's a cover-up of my scars and pain that I've endured over time. It's a cover-up of everything that makes me me. And at the end of the day, when I go home, thinking about what could be if there was a possibility, but I know that changing these things only hurt me. They don't better me, they just change me. All of these things are what make me me. I just hope one day I'll be able to see how beautiful all of these things make me.
Hello, my name is Tamiya Saboro, and I am a senior at Rogers High School, along with the president of the Rhythm and Rhyme Poetry Club. You study implicit bias. What exactly is that?
Thank you for asking that question. Implicit bias is a bias that develops from stereotypes. We hear messages and see representations of marginalized groups without having actual contact with them. And the stereotypes and often misrepresentations stand in for the reality of these groups' lives, their experiences of regular microaggressions and systemic discrimination. This implicit bias that develops over time, if it's not interrupted, causes teachers, social workers, doctors to make decisions that cause disparities in education, mental health, and healthcare.
Hello, my name is Adrian Douglas. I'm a sophomore. I go to Rogers High School. The world viewed me as a tall, lanky, mean person that is useless and a waste of height. Soft-spoken, the type of person I say I am. I view myself as a tall, funny, cool, talkative person who's nice, kind, and useful at times.
I'm Trinity Gill. I'm a junior at Rogers High School. This is my poem, Unmute Myself. Do you have a fear of being judged or misunderstood? Do you use that as an excuse to hide beneath the surface, ensuring the awakening of your true purpose, your true power? But by the hour, you keep quiet, because when you're in class, you stay reserved, answering when you believe you're right, or you just might be a whole different person when it comes to night. You're around that group of people, and you put on your act because my input is too much, or why does it matter what I have to say? But what if there is a way to break through those thoughts, like a sheet of glass? So maybe then the words that slip out of your mouth wouldn't be so stiff, but they would perfectly pass. Instead of being buried in thoughts you know aren't your own, you unleash your true meaning. Unmute your true being.
How can we recognize implicit bias, both in ourselves and in others?
Yeah, well, it's very hard to see in ourselves because it's in our subconscious. There is a test that you can take that's put out by Harvard. It's called an implicit attitude test, and it can give you some ideas of where you might have bias. Being open to feedback from your friends and family about ways you could be biased can also be helpful. Learning about groups of people you've had little exposure to can also be helpful by seeking out, reading, watching lived experience that is considered authentic and complex, meaning that it's more representative and has no stereotypes. It's being brave and letting those around you know gently so that the information isn't resisted when they have said something that falls within a stereotype. For example, if someone said to me that young people are self-centered, I would say that that has not been my experience with young people. In my experience, most young people care very much for their friends and their families and often sacrifice a great deal to show up for their friends and family. They care about their community and want to make it a better place.
Hello, my name is Joseph Allison, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. And this is my poem. My sense of style lackluster, my taste of things quite bland, my hearing degraded rapidly, making things hard to understand. I am always found dazed, disheveled, or distraught, but I'm tired of people telling me things I am not. I am a kind and passionate person who likes to think and do. My name is Joseph Allison. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, my name is Sydney Roberts Griffin. I'm a junior at Rogers High School. Me. I see me. The ups, the downs, the confident me when my hair is done. The sad me when I just don't want to get out of bed. The world, who knows what the world sees? They see the athletic and happy me, but do they see me? The world. Will the world see when I'm at my lowest, or only see what they want to see of me? Me. The truly authentic me.
Speaking of community, can you describe the difference between communities with high levels of implicit bias awareness and communities with low levels of implicit bias awareness?
So, in terms of how communities might be different in terms of implicit bias, I don't think there really is too much of a difference in terms of implicit bias in the United States based by community. There are individuals in the community who have been trained to be aware of implicit bias over the past 10 years, but these trainings have not been widespread and require ongoing discipline to reverse. Professionals in criminal justice, education, medicine, mental health are encouraged to create a cultural humility practice to better understand that individuals are experts of their culture and that we get to listen to better understand our clients' realities.
Hi, my name is Adon Reed. I am a sophomore of Rogers High School. And today our prompt is going to be about how the world sees you versus how you see yourself. So I have drawn a picture of how the world sees me. It is a stick figure with afro, and it has like little arrows with the words glasses. A guy, mean looking, taller than the average human, tired looking, and very slender. And then how I see myself is there's an idea of me, a Don Reed, some kind of abstraction, but there's no real me, only an entity, something illusionary, because I am simply not there.
My name is Maeve, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School. This is my poem titled, My Flame. I am seen by the world through foggy, frosted glass. I am falsely thought of as a quiet, shy, soft-spoken woman, someone with little potential. But that's only the spiked exterior. If you were to crack open my ribcage to the fleshy interior, you'd find an eternal flame, fed by rage that seeps from my veins like sap. You'd find a loud, opinionated, and determined queer person trying to push through the film of my heart, begging to be let out, to not let the deep fear of being judged cage me. One day, I might find the strength to take a scalpel to my guarded heart and let the blood flow freely, but until then, I'll be a quiet, shy, soft-spoken woman with little potential.
Can you describe a time when you allowed your biases to fall away to reveal a more authentic version of a student, colleague, client, or friend? What was it like for you to see the person in a whole new way?
This is a great question. For me, Fearless Writers has created space for me to learn about my implicit bias and better understand the power of social construction and my limited understanding of most people. Sharing bits of raw writing has opened my eyes to the creative capacity of all humans. The writing group has been very powerful in shifting my understanding about the disconnects between adults and youth, and how adults are often blind to youth realities because their lived experience is vastly different, even in a short amount of history. I did not have computers in high school, let alone social media, and the role that technology plays in youth lives is hard to fathom. Even when actually listening to youth share their experience, there is still a disconnect. Making an effort to connect and having humility seems crucial to empathizing.
Hi, this is Tamara Saburo again with my poem, I Versus You. Who I am is not what you told me. I love the rain. It's not colorful, but it clashes with the thunder. And I love the fall, when trees cry with one another. And you told me, right? I do differ from my neighbor, but I'm pictured as a crier and liar. When I'm only tired of being satire, you leash and I tie, you grip to my stride, therefore I'm hit to your side. And my character? Made a lie. Did you know I love the rain? It's not colorful, but it clashes with the thunder. And I love the fall, when trees cry with one another.
Hi, I'm Skylar. I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. Some people tell me that their first impression of me was that I was shy and quiet. Some even thought I was mean. I feel like those traits don't define who I am, but I can see why at times it may seem like that. A part of me wants to find out the truth of what everyone thinks of me, but the other doesn't. Honestly, I'm actually grateful for this topic because I've been thinking about it a lot lately. There were times in 2016 when I would wish time would go by faster, so I could have more freedom outside and more versatility at school as a teenager. Now, 10 years later, I'm in the shoes I once prayed for. I know who I am, and I feel like that's all that really matters, because I've become the teenager I dreamed to be, and I am proud of all my accomplishments that led me to the type of person I am today. I've always been my true self, because it seems tiring to play an act that doesn't align with my morals 24/7. I've been also thinking about the spaces I've been welcomed into that are helping me become better and the warming relationships that I've created by just being me. So, I must be doing something right in someone's eyes, but I know for sure that I'm doing something right in mine.
What happens to a person, to their sense of self and well-being, when there is tension between who they think they are and who others think they are?
So yes, the tension that you're talking about, there are two theorists best known for describing this phenomenon, Franz Fanon and W.E.B. Du Bois. Both describe it as double consciousness. When moving from disadvantaged spaces of color to predominantly white advantaged spaces like universities. Here's an excerpt from an article soon to be published by members of Fearless Writers that might help. Quote, the internalized tension created by the predominantly white institution increases awareness of labels of inferiority for students of color. This phenomenon goes unnoticed and unaddressed by the majority white campus community. The disadvantage and adversity faced by students from historically redlined areas remain invisible to educators and peers. This adversity, with added experience of campus implicit bias as a result of segregated lives prior to higher education, takes a toll on confidence, health, mental health for students of color, end quote. Here's a poem by DeMarco Hill from the same article that does a better job, in my opinion. Quote, I represent my parents. The Hill last name. I represent my city, one without fear I claim. I represent black men. I represent those lost and gone. I represent the first generation. I represent resilience. How do you represent so many things and still not feel like you belong? Representation is everything, just like first impressions. I would like to know myself, University of Toledo, what did you really think of me? Before they ever know me, I can make an impact. It's not hard to stay on track when you know where you started. I was willing to take that deep dive into what makes others different without even being able to swim. A home away from home. Sounds deep. I knew I was smart enough. Confident shot, but my mind and heart can't show it. In the sea of white, I am not minute. I must think this and never behave in a way that proves it to be true. A lot of people discriminate. But that is their loss. I will excel. And as I walk across the stage for the second time with my middle finger to the negative stereotypes, remember that your first impression of me will never override the last impression I left on you. Salute to those who are the face of adversity, but wear a crown of golden resilience, end quote.
That's a powerful poem. Why is it important for young people to stay true to themselves? Or wear a crown of golden resilience, as Mr. Hill puts it.
I agree, it's a powerful poem. It's likely just my interpretation of Marco's poem, but I think what he is saying is that it's important to be proud of what you have been through, and if nobody else recognizes the Herculean victories, you get to celebrate and make time to celebrate, because so few people make it through the obstacles, and until society recognizes your accomplishments, and often family doesn't even understand how high the barriers have been, you deserve celebration. Even if it was a race of generations and the baton was passed to you to cross the finish line, the last lap wasn't possible without all the other runners. But it takes particular strength and endurance to run the last lap. I think Marco hopes that students realize that their K-12 experience was more supportive than their higher ed experience may be, and to prepare by seeking out other folks in college who are first generation or who are black and brown so they don't feel alone. Also, college is an excellent opportunity to learn with and from other young adults from vastly different experiences and opens opportunities. It is okay to write your own story and not let what others attempt to write about you sink in or define you. Surround yourself with people who love and understand you and ask for help from people who have earned your trust.
My name is Amani Massingill. I attend Rogers High School, and my poem's name is My Clear Glass Box. I feel like I'm surrounded by everyone, yet I'm surrounded by no one. It's like being in a clear glass box, watching everyone watch me. Watch me break, watch me bend, watch my tears leak. Everyone's watching, wishing the worst, wishing the pain would never end. This clear glass box is my own solitude, stuck in this box because no one sees how hard I try. They just see an attitude, and in return they show ingratitude. My name is Amani, and I don't mean to be mad at you, but stop looking at me. Everyone, please. I feel like I'm surrounded by everyone, yet I'm surrounded by no one.
Hey, I'm Marisa Brandon, and today I'll be reading you this poem that I made. Two mirrors. I got this mirror in my head. Cracked a little, yeah, but it's mine. In it, I see a mind move faster than my mouth. ideas stacked like books I ain't finished yet. A future humming low, like it's waiting on me to catch up. I see someone built from pressure, not broken by it. Cold, they say. Not just focused. I don't waste heat on things that doesn't matter. I see discipline in silence. Power and patience. Even impatient be knocking like paying rent. I see me, but the world got its own mirror. Polished, clean, loud, and in that one, they see a glare before they see eyes. Calling it attitude, calling it distant, calling it too much or not enough. Depending on the day, they see quiet and think empty. They see confidence and think arrogance. They see focus and think I'm closed off. They like trying to read a book, but only the cover. Mad ain't telling them the whole entire story. Thing is, both mirrors got truth in them. Yeah, I'm sharp. Yeah, I'm distant sometimes. Yeah, I move like I already know. But somewhere to be. But what they don't see, what they can't see, is how loud my mind gets. When no one's around, how I question everything, like the world owes me questions. How am I building something bigger than their first impression of me? So I stand between two mirrors, not picking one, not breaking either, just learning how to let them see a little more of what I already know.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to Dr. Heather Cleary and the students and staff who support the Rhythm and Rhyme Poetry Club at Rogers High School. In episode 7, students will imagine what it would be like for high school students to take over social media for a day and push out all the judgment and negativity.
WGTE, Voices Around Us.